A few weeks after my train to non-hell, my family left Saskatchewan, intending to live near my mother's uncle Alex in Vista, California. Alex was an interesting man. A scientist, he traveled the world collecting fruit and then brought them back to California to try and create new fruit. He was a fine painter. We have a couple of his canvases at our house now. Also a very good violinist. When Einstein came to California to give some lectures at Caltech, Alex befriended him. It would be very interesting to grow up around Uncle Alex. First of all, my family visited my dad's brothers in Lodi, California. Louis was my favorite uncle. He and his brother Adam had been drafted into the Russian Navy in 1905 to fight the Japanese. Louis and Adam were not fond of that task. After the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, Russia sent some food to the devastated city on their ship. While they were unloading the food, they realized they could be of great use in San Francisco. They had been carpenters in St. Petersburg before they were drafted. Instead of going back to the ship, they stayed on in San Francisco and helped rebuild the city. By 1956, Louis had retired from carpentry and was raising chinchillas.
No, they don't bite. And then, as you know, chinchillas, or mutated chinchillas like these, the blue mutants we call them.
Is that because of their peculiar coloration, Brad, that makes them so rare?
No, they were first crossbred, or introduced, as we say, by Alistair Blue, a mutations expert, who's been into the raising of these little sweethearts. Oh, careful there.
Is he getting away?
That's all right. We get a lot more of them, and they do that, and that's part of the fun of raising them. And they're very clean animals.
I wanted to ask about that.
They're very clean. And if they do mess, as we refer to it, they'll do it in their little cages, and it doesn't make any difference. And they dig a little hole for it.
Is that what this one's doing here? Could we get a close-up of that?
No. No, this one's just trying to get away. That's his mate over there. That's the one they're trying to catch.
Well, look at that. They just caught it. Oh, that's... Our floor manager just told me they stepped on it.
Oh, that's a... That's a female. That's a squirrel, as we say. Those bright colors around the snout. Nose rings, we call them. They differentiate between them, and of course you just cover them up with this Nair guard and they won't breed.
They can't breathe?
No, they can't breed.
There's one crawling up my leg.
But seriously, Brad, Ken, we want them to breed as much as possible, and this guard is only used, of course, when you're away on vacation, you know, and it becomes inconvenient for them to...
Brad, now, how could we... Let's go over to that demonstration.
Oh,
you told
sure.
me to go.
Well, I'm going to show you how absolutely trouble-free these little animals are.
Back here.
If you have kids like I know I have, you'll want to watch this very carefully now.
We got a big close-up right there of the little...
If you just stay still here.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to put out this lighted cigarette on this chinchilla now. There. Now, you can see, I'm just letting it burn there. It doesn't harm the coat at all.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Well, how's it's still smoking there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, how is this possible, Ken?
Well, Brad, this chinchilla is entirely synthetic.
That's fantastic.
And with these little fellas raised in your spare time in the playhouse or the garage or the slaves' quarters, you'll be making hay while the sun shines and at midnight, too, with mutant flu.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brad. And you two little... What's his name?
Doesn't have a name. They're all his name.
Oh, well, thank you. Just a moment. We'll tell you the numbers to call.
Being a curious kid, I was anxious to touch the chinchilla's soft fur. The chinchilla didn't think that was a good idea and bit me. I was rushed to the hospital, where I was told I'd be dead in a few hours. A few hours went by. Then a few days. I didn't die in Lodi. Maybe death was on holiday. My family continued on to Uncle Alex's house. When we got there, we discovered that he had just died the previous day. My mother's father, Alex's cousin, had also died while we were driving from Lodi to Vista. My relatives in Saskatchewan had been trying to reach us, but couldn't until we got to Vista. I guess death had been invigorated by its holiday.
That's right. That's worry and concern and bad bowels caused by living on, like...
10-4.
Alvarado.
2150 by.
I wonder if I go out the street, someone's probably going to hand me a poison gun. I know it. I mean, I'll just walk out and someone will do that.
Stay inside.
Yeah, that's my advice to you. Stay inside.
I like to stay inside, basically, because if I go outside, somebody is going to hand me a bag with some germs in it.
Well, you know, you can get hit by a car crossing the street easier than you can fly in an airplane if you go outside.
I know. And last month, I was in my room, and I was looking out the window, and I saw a woman nearly get killed.
Nearly out in the street, right?
Out the street. If
look out for that monkey! He's got a knife!
Right.
That's terrible. You see, they run by like that all the time out there.
Charles.
That's your husband, Charles?
He's mad out of his mind. Definitely mad out of his mind. You know what?
Yeah, he's been outside? Is that what?
Been outside.
Been outside.
Been outside. Been outside.
Been outside.
Nearly got killed. Nearly got killed. She just came within 5 feet of getting...
Just could have gotten hit. Yeah, it's true. You got to really be careful all the time. I mean, especially when you're walking, you know. You never walk, though, do you?
I went outside last week, and I hadn't walked, like, more than a block, and a guy came up to me, and he handed me an arm.
It's the air.
It's the air.
It's the air that does it every time.
Didn't know.
Get out there. The fog is so thick you can't see your arm in front of your face.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. I mean,
you could.
Handed
he handed it to you.
A soft thing and hit, you know, pushed against me. Want it? I didn't know what he was talking about. I was so scared. It was an arm.
It was an arm?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, salt of the earth. They'll give you the arm and a leg off their backs, you know.
That's right.
That's what they say.
It's the air. So I stay inside, basically.
Sure. You got a view from your place, though, so you can see what's going on? Because it's nice to watch all those murders down there.
Yeah, well, I nearly saw a guy get killed.
Yeah, well, you can nearly see people get killed every single day. You know that?
Listen, just yesterday, there was a guy crossing from the
right down there.
Crossing the street, and he just nearly got hit.
The right turns there are terrible. I've seen cars almost get hit down there 20 or 30 times a day. The tires screech, and you expect to hear a big crunch of metal, and you run out to the window to take a look.
Nothing.
But it almost happened. You know,
well, that's as
really
bad as I
Peter.
Mean, yes.
Peter, excuse me. Don't play with that pencil near your face. I could put out your eye.
Oh yeah. Right. Oh, that could
thank
really.
You.
Yes.
Thank
Gee
you,
whiz.
Charles. Thank
Gee.
You. You get lead poisoning.
Yeah, well, listen.
Hey, I saw it once. I remember seeing once driving down the freeway. I saw a 56 Chevy, yep. And a Cutlass.
Unsafe.
Crash.
No.
You know? Oh, yeah, I saw that. Another time, I remember back in 1948, I was driving with my parents once, and I saw a Plymouth and a Ford crash.
Do it?
Oh, yeah, right.
Wipe out?
There were two or three people nearly killed.
He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed.
Stop cheating, you fools! Can't you see someone has been crashed here under this car? Oh, my God, it's me! I don't look at all well. I'm dead! I've been killed! Oh, this hasn't happened to me since M!
What if I turn on the radio?
In a massive traffic tie-up, as the death rate continues to soar. Now, let's go to the River's Edge and Charles B. Smith.
Ed? It's an amazing scene here. Like lemmings, the crowds are waiting on the shore, torches blazing as the long line of shrouded funeral rafts drift lazily into view, great black candles flickering at helm and stern. The excitement is contagious, and so are the Black Cross volunteers as they pass from family to family, pausing now and again to touch a child's head. I wish I could... but I can't. So long, Ed.
Thank you, Charles. And now here's another feature in our continuing report on the...
Hey, Mac, would you turn it
off
for?
How close are we to the border?
Well, at this rate... Uh-oh, I think they spotted you.
I wanna die! Touch me! Touch me! I wanna die!
Can't we go any faster?
There's too many of them.
What can we do?
I don't know. Throw him your coat!
Run to me!
Here's the border up ahead.
Thank God.
No, not yet. We'll never make it through that crowd at the gate unless you do exactly what I say. Take off all your clothes.
What?
Come on, buddy. Take them off.
Right.
I know. When I give the signal, toss them out, and I'll drive this heap right through the barrier. Ready?
Yes, yes. That's everything.
Okay. Here we go.
It's very important sometimes to just quietly sit back and not even ask yourself questions, but just try to figure out some very simple things, even without words. For example, we're talking about death tonight. And we take for granted, and I suppose rightly so, because being the kind of creatures we are, we have to take about 99% of everything for granted, but we'd spend most of our time out of action, just being amazed and wigged out by how perfect and really uncomplicated the whole thing is. But one question that comes to mind is, why are we born to die? Why death? I mean, we take for granted, as I say, right? But, you know, you're born, you die. You grow older, you mature, you die.
It's only a way of looking at things, old.
Yes, I know, but it's a way that seems to happen to everybody. We find it faintly amusing.
Give me immortality, or give me death. That's the motto here at Ralph's Ball Sports, new and used body shop in the city of the future. Hi, friends, Ralph's Ball Sport here to tell you that everybody must die, but you don't have to be there when it happens. That's why we're having a great going out of body sale. Yes, you can live forever while your friends fall apart around you like rotten fruit, and here's how. Lease an organ or limb from our headless body farm. It's made in America from Americans. Enter the new century with these exclusive clone-ons. Nap velour designer jeans. Deluxe follicle hair mat grafting with upgraded media-sensitive stimulated wrapper filler. Rear roll, non-glossy carbon intensified glute guards, power moons, and tinted tint grill spoilers in slash dash or faux flannel. So come on down to Ralph's Ball Sports, City of the Future, and do it today, because there may not be a tomorrow.
When certain wealthy movie stars try to preserve their youth. They try to look 30 when they're 60 or 70 or 80, and one day they go up in front of the mirror and lift the shade and it's gone. You know, I'm 85 years old and I'm still thinking like a 30-year-old. I don't know what to do. You know, they say, grow gracefully into old age. Yeah, that's a bummer also, I'm sure. Everybody's got an idea on how to die, but nobody sits down and asks, why death? I mean, why? What is there specifically natural about somebody being being born, growing, maturing, and dying. Why does there have to be this thing called the end? Now, most people are scared of dying.
Oh, come on now. You can't scare me. I'm not afraid of death anymore.
Shut up!
We're not talking about ego death. We're talking about body death.
I don't think I could rightfully say that I'm not one of them, David. It's not even dying violently, which is something we try to escape by putting it in all of our movies and television shows. That's okay for the guy in the black hat on the black horse, right? But not me. It's not going to happen to me. I'm going to die. And in the war movies, you ever played the little game of trying to find out before the first reel is over all the guys are going to get killed? There's the guy that always says, I got this lucky piece, Charlie, and as long as I got this lucky piece, nothing can happen to me.
What did you do with your lucky piece?
I left it back in the barracks. Gone, right? Well, it's like in the war movies, the ones in the plane. Every time they cut the film so that you see the Japanese guns first, right? You know the guy in the American plane's going to get hit, right? Every time they show the American guns, the Jap goes. About a 3-to-1 ratio.
Somewhere in the South Pacific, 1943.
Two.
Captain! Captain, fighter planes at 12 o'clock, sir.
Don't worry, bosun. It's only 11:30. Give me my binoculars. By God, they're Japanese!
The planes?
No, my binoculars. Now, don't worry, men. The planes are flying farther and farther away. Bye!
Oh, Captain, turn your binoculars around.
Thank you, Henderson. I got you right. They're getting closer and closer. Dive!
Dive, dive, dive.
Dive,
dive, dive.
That's an order. Dive!
Dive, dive.
Okay! Captain, begging your permission, sir.
Beg away.
The men have asked me to tell you, this is in the submarine.
The Firesign Theater.
What are we going to do, sir? What's that?
Sir, excuse me, Lieutenant, sir, man, what are we going to do?
We're going to lock and load, right? And then we're going to go out there and we're going to...
Kick. Oh, wait a minute. I know what he means. Kick. He means Kurosawa. Because Kurosawa makes the greatest war movies.
Yeah,
Kurosawa.
Oh, no. Kubrick-um. You know, the World War I with that pan down the trenches.
Kobolem. A Kobolem now, man. And again. And again. You were dead, man. You were
cut.
Alvarado, sir, what are we going to do, man? Matetsky, take it easy, Lieutenant. Tirebiter, we're gonna go out there and cut. I can't say it. I'm sorry, but I zip beep.
Can you remember now, Lieutenant?
Surrogate General Klein, sir. When I signed my contract with you, I fully intended to fulfill its terms with honor, sir. But you never told me I had to go out there and kill anybody.
Lieutenant, we will not tolerate the use of prohibited language in this courts-martials. The accursed will be advised of the absence of his rights under the secret code of military toughness and will act accordingly.
Nothing happens without a reason. That's the way I feel. And I feel that there has to be a reason for death. I think death is kind of an interesting, kind of funky phenomena.
Shoes for industry.
Shoes for the dead.
Yes. Shoes for industry.
Hi, I'm Joe Beats. Hey, what chance does a returning deceased war veteran have for that good-paying job, more sugar, and the free mule you've been dreaming of? Well, think it over. Then take off your shoes. Now you can see how increased spending opportunities means harder work for everyone. And more of it, too. So do your part today, Joe. Join with millions of your neighbors and turn in your shoes.
For industry.
Mark, it seems to float like oil upon the sea.
I'll be not gulled. Hand me my sword flask, man.
What use is sober steel against a ghost, my prince?
A ghost?
It hops up King Bernardo's crumbling tower, my lord.
The goats?
The ghost, sweet prince.
Methought they spoke of goats upon the battlements.
Nay, ghost, my lord.
Well, be he ghost or goat, or ghost of goat or both, our spirits need to goad my spirits on.
See, the spook will speak with thee.
He perches there upon the tower's tippy top.
I'm here, deceased parent.
You don't believe in me.
I don't.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You might be an undigested bit of beef. A piece of cheese. Fragment of underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave in you.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could write to Santa, get what you want,
there were gods you could pray to alter reality, so you didn't have to die.
We're some kind of alive now. We're ghosts, right?
No. We're just characters in a play.
Ernie? Over here. This way. That's it. You've made it. Welcome to side 6. Follow in your book and repeat after me as we learn our next 3 words in Turkish. Coffee, delight, border. May I see
your passport, please?